Campus Radio. Backstage.
Welcome to Backstage by Campus Radio Liechtenstein. Our today's guest is Brandon Steppe. My name is Jonas, and today you're getting an exclusive insight behind the scenes of the David's Harp Foundation, a non-profit music production company located in San Diego, California.
Introduction.
Hey Brandon, welcome to the Campus Radio. I guess the people don't know you, so why don't you introduce yourself pretty quick?
Yeah, sure. My name is Brandon Steppe. I'm the executive director and the founder, actually, of the David's Harp Foundation, which is, like you said, a music studio here in San Diego, California, that basically we trade good grades and behavior with kids for recording studio time. Yeah.
Inspiration.
Brandon, you just said that you founded the music studio and the foundation by yourself. But tell me, what inspired you to do so?
Well, yeah, so I do come from a musical family, but not in the professional sense. So when I was growing up, I played jazz saxophone. I went to the San Diego School of Creative and Performing Arts through my grade school years and into high school. And so, I come from a performing arts background, but really my passion for recording came when I was in university. At the time in the late 90s, digital recording was becoming more available. So, you know, we had Pro Tools and different software that we were able to finally use on a computer. And so I really picked that up early and began to start a career as an audio engineer. But when I was 26 years old, I took my father's garage and turned it into a recording studio. And young people from the community wanted to come into that space. And so I allowed them to trade their grades for studio time. And in the process, I saw how powerful music was to build relationships, especially with kids that are struggling, you know, having a tough time in life.
Sounds awesome, but you didn't start with the plan of becoming a music producer, did you?
No, yeah. So my music production career really, really started. I started making jingles in 1998 for businesses and creating hip hop beats for hip hop artists locally. And yeah, that really started the music production side of it. And back then we were working on, you know, real analog gear and MIDI, it's analog gear, and then digital synthesizers, you know, MPC 2000 XL and, you know, MIDI gear, Korg, Trinity and Triton. It was more, it was the old days before computers, you know.
Okay, interesting. But how did you then later on get the idea that kids or yet mostly teenagers come into your studios and trade their grades that they're getting at school for studio time? Where did it come from?
Yeah, so one day a young man named Rayvon knocked on the garage door, and he knew about the studio because I was building it, and he wanted to come in there. And at first I said no because I was busy, but he was very persistent, and eventually I let him come into the studio. And what I saw was how powerful music is to be able to earn a relationship with a young person. And so Rayvon was really not in a good situation, thinking about joining the gang at the time. And I was able to talk with him, and as we made music, and I saw how powerful it was, how that platform to be able to produce music, but also to be able to earn relationships with youth. And yes, so that was how it started. But pretty soon after school, my garage, the garage was packed with young people. They, you know, he told one person, they told another person, and soon the garage was full with kids. And that's when we knew we needed to really do something formal, and we started the David's Harp Foundation 2009.
That's like so cool to hear that you not just only got him into not joining a gang, you also got him to talk about his great experiences through producing music, and you maybe even got other people's into not joining a gang.
There's so much power in music. There's opportunity, you know, and not just music, but media production, video, podcast production, as you know, radio production. There's pathways for people to do things that are creative. And in San Diego, California, there's a $2.4 billion creative economy here, where people are doing all kinds of things to earn money with their with creativity, you know?
That sounds really awesome. So, can you give us some insights into your job? And, for example, what age range are the people you're working with, the children, the teenagers like?
Insights.
Yeah. So we actually serve kids in the juvenile justice system. So they range in age from 13 all the way up to 24. And sometimes people will think that's pretty old, but what happens is once kids are in the system in California here, you know, it really is a process for them to, you know, serve time in jail and then come back into the community. And so, you know, we have a program where we didn't know that if music would be powerful enough to go inside juvenile hall, but kids love music and they love making beats and they love hip hop music, and this is the music that they listen to. So it gives us the opportunity to build a relationship with these kids, and when they come back into the community, they have people there that they trust, that they know, that they know love them, and they can have a better outcome, you know.
Yes, and they might also bring their friends with them. So you might not just only help them, you might also help their friends into not turning into criminals. And I think that might also be a big thing for you, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And we work with kids before they go in as well. So we work with kids, you know, in what they call diversionary programming, where, you know, a kid might get in trouble. Instead of, you know, going to juvenile hall, they'll come to the program and for 30 days, and the judge says, okay, try this. And, you know, sometimes kids just need a positive outlet, and they need people around them that love them, that care about what's going on. And sometimes that's the difference.
Yeah, it's so cool to hear what kind of difference music can make with people. So, Brandon, tell me, what's the work with those kids mostly like? How does it feel for you?
Oh, it's great, man. It's what I think the most amazing thing about this work is, you know, every kid has to make his own decisions, right? But when you give them opportunities to do something different, to come into a really nice facility, and to, you know, and to just make music that they love, you show them that they're valuable, right? That they have worth. And I think that for me, it's been really impactful personally to be able to see when kids decide that they want to do something different. They want to do something positive. And their whole lives change. Yesterday I was talking with the young man Jeremiah, who was really struggling with gang activity pretty much his whole life, since he was really young. And right now he's 19 years old. He's on a good path. He works at the studio 8 hours a day, and he's really changing his life, man. He gets up, he's at work every day at 8 a.m. And when he walks in the door, you know, I could tell he has a place to be, but he also has purpose. And I mean, you know, for people who don't understand what it's like to grow up in that environment, sometimes you just don't feel like you have a purpose outside of, you know, what you know. And so to see somebody try something different and to succeed, to have purpose, it really is, it's a really, really good feeling. Yeah.
Yes, I think I still remember Jeremiah from the last time I visited you in the studio. And are those moments also the most valuable moments for you in your career?
Yeah, you know, for me, it is. I mean, seeing people grow, and I mean, now the kids that were in the studio in the garage are now in their 30s. 33, 34, they have families. And it's, yeah, you know, I'm getting old. You know, it's interesting for me to see how powerful relationships are. And there's some kids that, of course, you know, made the wrong decision, and they're in jail now. And so it's both, you know, there's success stories, but there's also those heartbreaking stories of young people who didn't make the right decision. And so, but really, it's about opportunity, you know, providing opportunity for people to see something different, to do something different, and to be something different.
Yes, and after the program ended, are you still keeping contact with those, I would call them right now students, or are you mostly quitting contact? Especially as you mentioned earlier that sometimes the judge only puts them in the program for 30 days, so are you afterwards still working on with them?
Absolutely. So the program runs, there's multiple layers to the program. When the kids first come in, it's usually in a class. They're learning to make beats, they're learning to rhyme, they're learning to do podcasts. But we have different programs that they can enter from there. So right now, the kids that are 18 are graduating high school here, and they're a few of them are entering into our BizPod program. So we have a program for 18 to 24-year-olds that teaches them how to do business in the creative economy. And it's a long program where kids are able to found their own businesses. So we have kids starting their own creative content businesses. Currently, there's a streaming business, Red Dot Streaming, Warehouse Media. They create multimedia content and RIP recording in progress. They do event photography and also videography. So it's there's kids are creating their own businesses. They're hiring other kids, and it gives us more opportunity to build more relationship, but it allows them to make money.
Awesome. So is your work then also mostly split into those kind of different programs? So kind of on the morning I have that program, on the afternoon I have that program.
Yeah, so kids come in, they start, well, the older kids come in starting at 8 a.m. and they're 8 to 6, but we have kids on what do you call it, independent study, because they've gotten in trouble, so they're not in a traditional school. So they're there from 10 a.m. all the way up until 6, and then after school program starts at about 1 and go all the way to 7. So it's multiple programs. But you typical day is from 8 to 7, which means I'm there from 7 to 7. Sometimes less, but I have a good staff too, so
Yes, so I can see you usually have a long working day.
yeah, well it's I have a good team, you know, so it's multiple people coming at different times, but yeah, it's a long day in the studio for sure.
Yes, but at least you got some good supporters with your staff.
Absolutely. And they're very talented staff as well. So,
So what kind of challenges did you have during your career? How do you deal with them and how do you deal with setbacks?
challenges.
So a lot of setbacks, actually. You know, you're not going to do any business that's worthwhile without setbacks, without issues, without struggles. I've had personal struggles. My wife, when she was pregnant with our daughter, she was diagnosed with cancer in her ovaries, which thank God she's okay. But that was a huge setback, but also opportunity, because I was able to walk through that time with kids that were in the studio, and I was honest with them about what I was going through. And you know, it helped me to see the importance of being honest and open with young people that we're trying to mentor. If you're open and honest with them, then you know they can trust you. They'll be open and honest with you. So some of my setbacks have led to great breakthroughs like that. But you know, there's times when you know we were down to our last dollar, and you know, just really, how are we going to make it the next day? And we're just grateful to God. Some of it is my faith to get me through it, but other times it's trying to find a strategy to figure out a way to raise money, or to, you know, so there's business is tricky, but I think that the journey is worth it. And as long as you're more focused on the people around you and their well-being than you are the money and the business side of it, I think business will happen, and it will be successful, you know.
Yeah, I think trust is one of the most important things in that field, because if the kids, the teenagers, don't trust you, they don't let you come towards them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, trust is really important. And you, I mean, you're a young person, you know, if somebody, you know, if you see somebody and you're looking to them for information, maybe to be a mentor, and you don't trust them to tell them your struggles, then they never can really understand what you're going through to help you. But also, if they're not willing to tell you who they really are, what they struggle with, then that trust can't be built. It can't be mutual, you know? So I think it's really important for adults, for people who you know, who have information that is valuable that they want to pass down to younger people, have to be honest and open about who you are.
Definitely, and I think it's also kind of a long path to get the trust that you need to help those people.
That's right. Yeah, it takes you being vulnerable and honest and transparent, and that's how trust is built, you know.
Yes, and are there some like challenges you see like or have to deal with every day, like maybe even some hard things you have to deal with?
Absolutely. I'm working with young people from the juvenile justice system is hard. You see drug addiction, fentanyl, crystal meth. It's really bad addiction to drugs. And then with the gang lifestyle, we've had young people that have been murdered that we know in the program. Matter of fact, last year we had four young people who were murdered in gang violence. And even suicide, so you get to see some really, really tough things, and it hurts. There's times when my staff is heartbroken, but we know that ultimately we really need to be there because who else is, there's not too many people that are in that space with those kids. So we know that it's something that we need to do, and it's positive. But yeah, there's definitely a fair share of tough situations and heartbreaks, man.
Oh, I can definitely understand that. And how do you see the future of the David's Help Foundation? I know that you've just expanded your whole studio. Are you still planning on expanding?
Future.
Yeah. So we expanded the studio, but one thing you might not know is, so we've just purchased a house, so kids can, when they come back into the community, they'll have a place to live as they are in the business pod program, learning business skills. And it's pretty cool. So it's not too far from Russell's house, from my dad's house, where the garage, where the first studio was. And so now building this house will give them stability. And so we'll have 24 hours with kids, an opportunity to for them to see something different, for them to be something different.
Oh, that's so cool to hear that you even bought a house for them. I think I have to come over and visit the house next time I am in San Diego.
Yeah, you have to come visit the house, man. It'll be an interesting time. There'll be a little studio at the house too. So yeah.
And if you would start it all over, would you do it the same way as you did it, or would you do it in another way? Would you do it different?
Reflection.
Well, yeah, there's mistakes that I made that I think it would be good to do different, but really what I did was I listened to the people around me, to the kids. When they wanted to do something, I saw that and I stepped into that space to meet them there. And that I think that's the powerful thing. So, like you can have a plan, but sometimes things don't go to plan. The question is, are you going to listen to the people around you and love them and make them the priority? And then things will go the path that they're supposed to go. So yeah, I can't really regret the things that happened because it led us to having a program that's actually works, that's dynamic, where kids are able to dictate the way that we're going in a way that they know they want to go. And so it's powerful. So yeah, I can't say I regret the directions, even though some of it was painful.
Yes, and I also think that you improved your program by so much during the many years you're not doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're now going on, oof, 2009 to now officially. So 15 years,
Ending.
That was Backstage by Campus Radio Liechtenstein, today with Brandon and Jonas. With us, the guest always has one more music wish and a last word to say. Brandon, what song do you wish for, and what would you like to say to the world?
All right, so the song that I want to wish for today is actually a song that was created by one of the young people in the program, and I'll let you hear the lyrics, and you can get a feel for what he's talking about as far as the song is concerned. But it's about the organization, and the last word is music is powerful, So with great power comes great responsibility.
Change something you
Use
can
it
do at
well.
any point in your life. Constantly doing wrong to constantly doing what's right. Uplifting the community and making it bright. Davis Harbin did a lot with just a little of time. It's motivation, inspiration, education, and love. It is putting in the work to make it out of the mud. It's an unlimited vision. That's all about lifting up. It's conditional choice that it all revolves around trust.